This is the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo, giving you the inside track on all the big talking points from Goodison Park.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Royal Blue Podcast after a particularly eventful transfer deadline day for Everton. Anyone who tunes into our Facebook Live yesterday with myself, Adam Jones and Chris Beasley will know we touched upon a few subjects that were happening in the window, but we've got a much clearer idea now that at least most of the European windows have slammed shut. I'm your host, Sam Carroll, today, joined by Adam Jones, Dave Prentice and Paul Wheelock. Long day for you yesterday, Adam?
Not that.
What did your shift end up clocking in as yesterday?
15 hours is what it ended up as. You know, starting with the Ben Godfrey announcement coming at 9 a.m. and ending with the second announcement of the day. Robin Olsen clocked in at about, I think, 10 past 11, was it? And quarter past 11, something like that. So we still had stuff to do after that announcement as well. So, yeah, it was a long day, but it's worth it for days like that.
How did you spend deadline day, Preno? Was it glued to Sky Sports News?
No, of course not. It was glued to Facebook Live and yourselves, and, you know, sort of updating the Echo app every 5 minutes. I was busy doing other things, but I was keeping a sort of close eye on it. And yeah, ultimately, I was relatively satisfied with the business that was done. The caveat being that I think the Championship window is still open, isn't it, for a little while longer. So there's still a potential for maybe another forward to come into the squad before, not to give Adam another busy day in like a week's time. But no, I just think that obviously the Moyes Keane decision, sort of to allow him to leave, leaves us maybe a little bit, sort of light in that area, whilst accepting that, obviously Richarlison can play a central role and there are other players that can also fit in. But, so possibly potential for one more player still to come in. But now overall, so quite satisfied and quite happy with the business that was done.
Paul, was Thomas quite excited last night?
Not as excited as he was on Saturday afternoon and Sunday night, to be honest, after the Everton win and Liverpool defeat. It's just been a brilliant few days, hasn't it, to be an Evertonian, to be honest. And we'd done our main business, but it was nice to get that fourth centre-back in, which I know we've all spoke about on this podcast recently, felt was needed. And after Saturday, I imagine a number of Evertonians were quite glad to see a goalkeeper come in as well, given the way Jordan Pickford played and his mistake on Saturday. But yeah, we were really happy in this household. It's been a great couple of days, and it feels like, bar from potentially a striker, because that would be a bit of a worry if, say, Dominic Calvert-Lewin or Richarlison was to get injured, it feels like it's been an excellent window all in all.
So Adam, we'll start with you, and we'll start with Robin Olsen, who kind of completed a late move to Everton last night, the Roma goalkeeper. I don't imagine, like any of us, you've seen loads of them, but do you think Everton would have signed Robin Olsen if that goal against Brighton doesn't happen on the weekend?
It's really interesting, isn't it? I mean, Robin Olsen's a really interesting prospect. Obviously, he caught the minds of a lot of people in that 2018 World Cup, didn't he? Where, of course, obviously, Jordan Pickford performed quite well himself, to be honest. But Robin Olsen, I remember Robin Olsen having a few good games for Sweden during that tournament. But I haven't seen all that much of him since. But yeah, it's as you say, it was just another mistake from Jordan Pickford against Brighton. And it was something that I said on the Facebook Live yesterday. I think with Everton having addressed areas of the squad that really needed addressing, i.e. like the midfield and the defence particularly, over the course of the summer already, it kind of just highlighted the issue that we've already got with Jordan Pickford between the posts. And it's only been... Well, I wouldn't say it's been getting worse. I think it's probably just steadily stayed consistently an issue for us over the last few months with Pickford, especially. So I think the desire to bring in a goalkeeper probably makes sense to me. We had obviously links to Sergio Romero and Paolo Gazzaniga earlier in the day, and I would have been happy with either of those coming in. And I'm happy enough with Robin Olsen coming in as well, because I think it's a short-term fix, certainly. He's only coming in on loan, but I think he does provide more significant competition to Pickford than Jonas Lovsol would, for example. And I mean, João Virginia is probably not ready to be stepping up to the Premier League yet, so I'd leave him out of that for the time being. But yeah, in terms of like Losel in particular, I think Robin Olsen's going to be providing Pickford with a little bit more competition, and you know, it's hopefully just going to give Pickford a little bit of a kick up the backside over the next few weeks. To be honest, you know, he can't be making these mistakes consistently over the course of this season, because you know, while we've started this season well, you know, as always happens in football, team will be able to work out how we play, and they'll be able to shut us down a lot more effectively. So these mistakes that Pickford is making, while they might not have cost us any points yet, if he keeps making them in the future, I think it's only a matter of time before they do. So he needs to cut them out of his game, and fingers crossed, the arrival of another international goalkeeper to push him a little bit will hopefully improve his game a little bit.
Is that where you see his role at the moment, Olsen, Preno, as competition and basically a warning to Jordan Pickford, saying, look, this carries on for another couple of games or another couple of mistakes, you're out the team?
It clearly does. I mean, it's an acceptance, I think, by Carlo Ancelotti that there's a problem. You know, having spoken so vociferously in defence of Jordan Pickford only a week earlier, and having pointed out how well he performed against Tottenham and, you know, so how well he's performed for the national team, to then go out and bring in an experienced international goalkeeper with, what is it, 38, you know, so full caps for his country, says that, well, yes, we do have a problem. Hopefully it's only a short-term problem, but there is something that's there. And I don't think he wanted to go any further without experienced backup and somebody that can step into the breach if necessary, if Jordan's, you know, meltdown continues, you know, beyond the, you know, the Derby match, that we can make a change fairly quickly. You've got a feel for Jonas Losel, but, you know, so clearly Ancelotti has decided that, you know, he's not quite at the level to provide that competition. I think he's only got the one international cap, hasn't he? Whereas, obviously, Olsen's a very seasoned international campaigner who could step straight in. And I think it's just, it's cover. It's cover that if Jordan continues doing what he's doing, that yes, we can make that change. And I think it also is a warning. It's also, look, I don't know what's going on mentally with you here, but you know, this is two, maybe three, you know, so high profile blunders that have happened now. And it wasn't just dropping the ball at, you know, Maupay's feet. There was an incident shortly after that as well, where he beat the ball straight back out on, you know, in the middle of the penalty area. There's been a number of things that you look at and think, oh, Is he struggling mentally at the moment, so psychologically? You know, is he not concentrating the way he should do? So, yeah, it's a warning. It's experienced cover, should it be required. But most of all, it's an acceptance that, yeah, there's a problem here, and he's gone some way to try to address it.
I think me and you, Preno, have stuck up for Jordan on this podcast.
We have, quite
a few times. So do you feel a bit of disappointment at the moment, that he just doesn't quite seem to be getting that form back that I think we all know that he's capable of? Or is it just, I mean, you've seen a lot of keepers come and go for Everton.
Yeah. I'm finding it impossible to defend him anymore. I mean, I know we both have very, very enthusiastically, because we saw the level of performances he was producing consistently in his first season, in his first 18 months at the football club. But I just wonder sometimes, the very, very best goalkeepers are the goalkeepers that are asked to do very little, but when they are asked to do something spectacular or something efficient, they do it with a minimum of fuss. And I always get the impression that Jordan is very, very good when he's asked to be busy, when he's under pressure, when the shot's firing in at him. And, you know, he's very, very good at shot stopping and keeping those shots out. And I wonder that, you know, is he capable of taking that next step to become a goalkeeper that is asked to do very little, which is what we want him to be. You know, we want Everton Football Club to be a team that defends very, very well, screens its goalkeeper very well, but when necessary, that goalkeeper is capable of producing absolutely top-class saves. And only the very, very elite-level goalkeepers can do that. You could even argue that maybe Tim Howard towards the end, you know, so wasn't capable of doing that. Nigel Martin's the last one I can think of that was absolutely top class at that. You know, you wouldn't hear of him for 18 minutes, but when necessary, we're producing absolutely blinding save. And Jordan needs to prove that he can do that. Everton have improved this season, and, you know, so they have improved in all levels, but he hasn't personally. And he's got to get back to that level of performance that he showed that he was doing in the first 12 or 18 months at Everton Football Club. And if he doesn't, well, you know, he's going to be losing his place, and obviously his international place could be at risk as well. So no, I'm finding it tough to defend him anymore, to be perfectly honest. He's beginning to make the Perdos look a bit soft.
Wheeler, where do you stand on Jordan Pickford? Do you think, on the one hand, do you consider he's still a young man in goalkeeping terms? Well, he's a young man in general, and you think he can turn it back to, as Preno says, that opening 18 months of his Everton career when he was named, I think, players player, fans player. He won all the awards you could in that tumultuous first season. Or is he past the point of no return for you? Do you think he's almost reached that Joe Hart type level of the confidence has just kind of gone in him from his defenders and maybe even a little bit from himself?
I don't know if he's past the point of no return, but I think he's rapidly approaching it. You know, that first season he was outstanding. And as Adam said earlier, I think gradually, or maybe steadily is probably the best word, that his performance levels have dropped off to an alarming level, you know, after lockdown, after the Premier League returned. And unfortunately, there's been three goals this season where you look at him and say, you're at fault there. And it's a dangerous game because I don't want to brand him a liability because he's clearly not. He's clearly an outstanding goalkeeper. He's never let England down. That's why he continues to be the country's number one. But he is in danger of becoming slightly liable because you look at that game on Saturday against Brighton. I thought we were absolutely outstanding in the first half. And this was like a Brighton team who battered United, you know, a week before and were very unlucky to lose. And supposedly I didn't see the game, but played very well against Chelsea in their first match of the season. Didn't have a shot at goal for 45 minutes. And then all of a sudden he drops one. Mopai scores. And then for the final few minutes of the half before Mina put us back in front, Brighton looked dangerous. And, you know, it certainly gave them confidence for the second half to have a go at us as well. And it's, you just can't have it. It's tough being Everton goalkeeper. It's tough being England goalkeeper. There's a lot of responsibility, but he's got to stand up and he's got to step up to the plate. And Preno mentioned it there. And I remember you guys talking about it on the pods probably after the mistakes against Fleetwood. And you were bang on. Like, he is a goalkeeper who, when it's quiet, you worry. And I'm beginning to see that a lot more now. I've never actually seen it before. And, you know, if we're going to become a better team and move up the league, there's going to be, hopefully, as Preno rightly says there's going to be a lot more times where we're not actually having our goalkeeper on to make too many saves. So when he does, he's got to step up. And yeah, I just hope Alton's signing, the fact that he's an upgrade on Lossell and Virginia, it is that kick up the backside because he needs it. There's no doubt about it. He needs it. He's a good goalkeeper. No one's doubting that. But he's got to try and get back to the level he was showing in those first season and a half, to say the least.
Has anyone seen much of Olsen, or are we kind of all going in blind, apart from, as Adam mentioned, the World Cup?
There's your answer.
It's tough doing this over the phone because you can't like make eye contact with anyone to see who's chiming in.
Yeah, big shoes to fill, didn't he?
Just the fact that an international goalkeeper has been brought in with his number of senior international appearances, which is, you know, relatively reassuring. You don't get that many international caps without being, you know, relatively steady. Although, you know, Jordan Pickford himself is probably nearing that number of international caps now. So, you know, we don't know, to be perfectly honest. We're just taking a bit of a punt on the fact that you know, the club's recruitment once again has got it right. And let's face it, they haven't made many bad steps this summer, have they? So let's just hope this is another step in the right direction.
Well, we'll go all the way from the back to the very front. And I think one of the most interesting moves of last night, Adam, was certainly Sandro Ramirez. I think we were saying before, out of Bolasie, Besic and Sandro, it seemed almost certain that Besic might get a move. There was rumours of Bolasie late on, but it all seemed quite quiet on Sandro. Yeah. Do we kind of have to say fair play to him? I cannot for the life of me see SD Huesca paying the kind of money Everton might have been paying him, and he's chosen to kind of break free from his contract and go and try and kickstart his career there.
Yeah, I suppose there's probably an element of that. I think, you know, it's probably become patently clear to him over the past few seasons that he's just never going to make it at Everton, unfortunately. And I think he had a more solid loan move last season than any of his previous loan moves, which I know isn't really saying a lot considering his other loan moves, but you know, he actually scored some goals while he was on loan at Valladolid last season. So, you know, to be able to go out there and just, you know, he's still a young lad, isn't he, really, in sort of relative terms. You know, he's not reached the peak of his career yet, I wouldn't say. So he's still a striker who can go out there and prove himself. And he's going back to his home country. And, you know, he can just step up and, you know, just play some football. You've only got a short career as a footballer, haven't you? So you need to try and eke out as much of it as you possibly can. And maybe Sandro's just got to that realisation where he's just thinking, look, I'm still at a good age here. I can still go out and I can still do this. I'm not going to get the chance at Everton. Like, it's time for me to suck it up, step up and move on. And yeah, I think it's probably good for Everton that they've managed to get his wages off the books, and it was good that, you know, the club have waived any sort of transfer fee to allow this sort of move to happen. And, you know, it's good from Sandro as well to be able to say, look, I do just want to step up and move on here. So yeah, I've got to say good luck to him. It's a shame that it didn't work out after all the excitement that we had when we first signed him. Of course, you know, it's a real shame to see the transfer pan out the way it has done, but yeah, good luck to him in the future.
Is it almost a little bit sad looking back, Preno? I mean, personally, I remember the summer we signed Sandro, I was on holiday with my mate in Spain, and the bar we used to go to each night would play La Liga goals, and Sandro seemingly scored about 15 worldies that season, and he got it most nights, and it was a couple of days after we'd signed him, and I remember most nights just saying, we're going to win this league this season, Sandro and Klaassen are going to run it. Obviously, a few vodka oranges deep at that point, but is it almost kind of, looking back that summer, you know, we've moved on so far now, haven't we? You just cannot see the recruitment we're making now under Brands currently. You know, when you look at Sandro, James and Alan and Decore, it seems like there's a real plan in place, whereas that did seem like a real scattergun summer now, looking back.
It was a scattergun summer, but I think it's also wrong to try and hold Sandro Ramirez up as like a symptom of how poor the recruitment was that summer, because he was a justifiable risk, and he was a player that, you know, we were absolutely justified in trying to sign. The fact that you can't make eye contact with me and see me now means that you can't see me scrambling rapidly through Wikipedia to tell you that he scored 14 league goals in 30 appearances for Malaga. The season that we signed him, we got him for 5 million. You know, it was absolutely a risk worth taking. At the time, he was only 22, I think it was. And so, yeah, you've got a young striker who's just scored a goal every other game in La Liga, who was available for a knockdown fee. So, yeah, 100%, it was a deal worth a risk worth taking. It just didn't work out for him because, as we've often found out in the past, as Liverpool found out with Diego Aspas, a similar player who's gone back to Spain and done really well again, they're just not suited to the physicality and the intensity of the English Premier League, which is very, very different to some of the leagues on the continent. So it was a risk worth taking, but unfortunately, it never worked out for him, and he never, ever really looked comfortable in English football. His attitude was decent. I remember a pre-season friendly last summer, away at Bury, I think it was, where you could tell he was absolutely, you know, sort of running himself, you know, sort of soft. He was desperately trying to make things happen. But similar to Davy Klaassen the same summer, it just wasn't ever going to happen, really, because his style of football wasn't quite right for the English Premier League. So, yeah, it's sad that, you know, it didn't work out for him. It's sad that he's had to, you know, sort of go elsewhere. But, you know, he's had his little, you know, to go at English football. It didn't work out for him, and I hope he has a success elsewhere. I think it's wrong to, you know, sort of label him as a symptom of that awful summer. So many other players that summer we should never have gone near. But I think Sanjay was probably, a risk worth taking. It just never worked out, unfortunately.
The Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.
And we've cleared some wage space off the bill, Wilo, for Sandro moving him on. And it also transpired on deadline day that we loaned Theo Walcott back to Southampton, and we're going to split his pretty considerable wages with the club that he started his career at. Another player who you could say it didn't quite work out for. I mean, he's done a lot better than Sandro, but again, you've got to say good business from Marcel Brands and everyone involved, because I don't think Theo was going to get much of a look in this season, was he?
No, I've got nothing against Theo Walcott. I don't think he was anywhere near the player he was at Arsenal, but I don't think he ever let himself down attitude-wise. And there were times before Carlo came in where he'd hold his position on the right, he'd always cover Seamus Coleman. And even though I was never that excited at seeing him in the starting lineup, I know he'd try and do his job, but it's just not worked out for him, to be honest. And the big thing for me is, like, you see how much trouble Anthony Gordon has had recently trying to get into league squads, despite the fact that he's been brilliant in the League Cup. And I just felt like we had too many players holding him back. And obviously Iwobi seems to be ahead of Gordon in the pecking order at the moment and did pretty well when he came on against Brighton. But to me, it was just... It felt the right sign. It felt like the signing needed at the time because I think it was Allardyce in charge, wasn't it? And we were desperately lacking goals, which was like still as a consequence of what had happened the previous summer. We've only bringing in Sandro as a forward. And I'm sure he had a great game early on. I'm sure he scored, was it two against Leicester when Coleman...
Leicester, yeah.
Yeah, when Coleman made his comeback, didn't he, from the long-term injury.
Yeah.
There were moments, but he's just... He probably wasn't the player he was at Arsenal. And there were probably times as well when... He'd actually make the runs, but we just didn't have the players capable of playing him in. You know, you could tell he was an intelligent player from the way he played with people like Fabregas at Arsenal. I just think, again, similar to Sandro, but nowhere near as bad. The circumstances just wasn't right for him. And clearly, since then, we've got better players than him in those positions. And as I say, one in Gordon, who we need to give some game time to. So I was not too fussed to see Walcott leave, but wish him all the best. And it sounds like a good move for us and a good move for him.
So Walcott, Sandro, Moise Kean, all out, Adam. Are we a striker light?
In my opinion, yeah, probably. Yeah, I was a bit surprised to see a few forward options go. I was very happy to see Bernard stay after the rumours, you know, that he might be on his way out as well. You know, in that case, I think it's good that we kept as many forward options as possible. In terms of Walcott leaving, I think, you know, we alluded to it there. You know, I think it would probably be good to see Anthony Gordon just step up into his place in the squad, really. I think Gordon probably offers a little bit more than Walcott. I think he's a bit more creative in the final third and he's got a tiny bit more of a goal threat, I'd say, considering what I've seen from him in the 23s and the 18s. So I'd like to see him step up into that position. But, you know, you do just wonder to yourself if, you know, if touch wood... Fingers crossed he doesn't, but if Dominic Calvert-Lewin were to pick up any sort of injury over the international break or anything like that, well, we've got Richarlison to step up into that position, yeah. But apart from that, who else have we got, really? You know, we've still got Cenk Tosun coming back from injury. You know, we'll need to rehabilitate him once he's fully fit again. We've got Ellis Sims who could step up, and, you know, maybe the club might see this as an opportunity for Sims to make that step up into the first team now. You know, I think... A few people have been clamouring for that for a few months, haven't they? So it'd be interesting to see if he does sort of grab his opportunity and does step up to the first team. But personally, I'd quite like to see, you know, some sort of other experienced forward come in and just give Calvert-Lewin a little bit of help. Because, you know, I was speaking to Michael Ball earlier today, funnily enough, and he said the same thing. You know, we don't want to be left in a sort of situation that we had with Romelu Lukaku, and we were relying on him far too much. And, you know, if Lukaku didn't have a good game, or if he was carrying a little bit of an injury or something like that, then usually Everton wouldn't perform well because we just wouldn't have the players to be able to step in and replace him in the side. We don't want to be left with that with Calvert-Lewin. We don't want to be putting too much pressure on him. Even at this stage, you know, when he's performing well, you know, we kind of need to be lightening the load on him almost, and, you know, just letting him freely go about his game. So, yeah, I would have quite liked to see another striker come in. Obviously, there's still a championship window where, like, you know, we can bring in players from lower leagues up until the 16th, is it? I think that's open till. So maybe we could see some sort of move there. I'm not sure, but yeah, even then, it's still only, what, 80 odd days until January transfer window opens. So it might just be a case of them, you know, saying, you know, we can last until January with the options that we've got. And, you know, as we've kept saying throughout the course of the transfer window, if Carlo Ancelotti is fine with it, then I think I'm fine with it, to be honest, because who am I to argue with Carlo Ancelotti?
Josh King is a name mentioned. I've seen today that he's 2-1 to join Everton. Would you be hitting your light? No likey, no lighty?
I don't think that'd be great. Who's in the world?
No?
I think he was maybe a little bit underrated during his time at Bournemouth. I saw him play a lot of times during his little spell in the Premier League, and I always thought he was very impressive. He's got linked to Manchester United quite a lot in the past, hasn't he? So he's clearly got quite a lot of qualities. He's very versatile, can play across the front three as well, can't he? So he's big, physical presence, got a goal threat about him. I think I'd be up for that, you know, but it all depends on whether the right deal comes up, isn't it? You know, if we could get it for the right price, or maybe if it was a loan deal or something like that, I think all of these things have got to be taken into consideration. But, you know, if it transpired to it was Josh King, then yeah, I'd be all for it, to be honest.
As Adam says, Preno, it is only 80 odd days between windows. Do you think it's more of a case that Everton will sit tight now after, you know, what has been a decent summer kind of outlay?
I think they've proved and they've showed that they're not willing to be bullied in the transfer market. I mean, obviously the two goalkeeping links, Romero and Gazzaniga, fell down because both clubs wanted permanent deals. Because, as we're led to believe, the clubs are releasing them, perceive Everton as a threat now. So I didn't want to be loaning players to threats, which is a bit odd. But, you know, so Everton aren't going to be, you know, so bullied for the sake of 80-odd days. I, like Adam, I quite like Josh King, and I think that would be a decent option. I think he would certainly offer us more than Moyes Keane was offering us. And I've spoken of my frustrations in the past about Moyes Keane. I think it's probably a good resolution for both clubs, provided he gets game time at PSG. I'm not sure he is going to get that much more game time there. But, you know, he's clearly a young man that needs to develop his game and needs to build certain aspects of his game. And he wasn't getting the opportunity to do that at Everton because he wasn't playing often enough. And whether he will do in France, I don't know. But he wasn't offering us a great deal on the occasions that he came in. Whereas I think Josh King would, like Adam said, he's got physicality, he's got presence, and he's got, you know, experience of Premier League football. I mean, that was second guessing that is a guy they are going to push the boat out to try and bring in. So if he is priced out of a deal, I think they probably will sit tight, mindful of the fact that Richarlison, and I'm crossing my fingers here that he doesn't suffer any more injury problems, can play that central role very, very comfortably. And keeping my fingers crossed that Dominic Calvert-Lewin continues the run of form that he's had and doesn't have a little dip at some stage, which he's showing no signs of doing at the moment. But yeah, it's not a huge amount of time to go through until January. And the fixtures are pretty much, you know, every 7 or 8 days. The next leg of the quarterfinal, next round of the League Cup isn't until, you know, the week before Christmas. So, you know, we haven't got a glut of fixtures apart from three internationals in the space of 6 days, which is a bit of a weird one. But, you know, club football, you know, they are spaced out fairly evenly. So I think we probably could, in inverse commas, get away with it until the next window. I think, obviously, a centre-half was a very, very important hole to fill. It was vital we did that. We've done that. And we can probably, you know, sort of fiddle around with the other striking options.
And Paul, Trent Tosin has spoken on his Everton future a few times, and he's kind of said, you know, I want to stay. And I think he's even kind of said that he got the feeling that Carlo Ancelotti wanted him to stay. And I think we all kind of took that with a pinch of salt. But we get to this point of the window, and he might have been telling the truth all along, and he does still have a future there. And it'd be quite a strange one, wouldn't it?
I'm not completely written him off, but I think, again, his future's probably away from Goodison Park. And with the brutal truth is, we probably need better than him as backup to Dominic and Richarlison up front. But as Preno rightly says there, the fact that we've only got like one game a week now before Christmas, apart from that cup quarter final, would suggest that, touch wood, they both stay fit, and then probably Cenk Tosun won't be needed. I think Josh King's an interesting one, just to add to what the lads have been saying there. I used to watch him, funnily enough, for Blackburn when I used to cover the club for a local paper in those parts. And back then, he couldn't actually get in the team because they had two players called Jordan Rhodes and Rudy Gusteri, who were really good championship goal scorers. So I've kind of followed his career closely, and I always try and watch him at Bournemouth because he's come on an absolute ton. And actually, a lot of the times when he's played against Everton, I'm pretty sure he not only has scored, he's impressed a lot. And I know he's in the last year of his contract there. He is 28, but Bournemouth have gone down, and obviously, like most clubs, you go down to the Championship after cut costs, and you just wonder, maybe they might even look for a loan, maybe take him off, you know, like we've done with Walcott, and take him off the books for a year. You never know, because it's maybe not the sign that we need, because he's 28, and we kind of look, apart from those midfielders, for younger players nowadays. But I just think, and with Dave and Adam, really, I wouldn't be against signing him. And I do think probably for the rest of the season, we do need another striker, because I still wouldn't be against, if Cenk Tosun gets back fit and gets back in the squad, I still think long-term, you'd look to move him out the door, to be honest.
And just to kind of finish off, Adam, we've got a week left to think of the EFL window. If we could find kind of temporary homes for Bezic, Bolasie, and then, you know, Pennington, Connolly, and a couple of other lads from the 23s, it'd be a pretty perfect window, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think already you've got to be rating this easily like a 9 out of 10 sort of window already. I think, you know, over the course of the window, we, as I said earlier, we've highlighted the positions in the squad that we needed to strengthen the most. And I think we've achieved our aims in pretty much every position. You know, we've, as I say, yesterday, we got that goalkeeper in. We got a fourth senior centre-back option in, which I think was really important. Obviously, we've addressed the midfield. We've got creativity coming in James Rodriguez. We've got, you know, rather surprisingly, we've got a backup left-back in Niels Nkunku, who has just been a revelation so far this season. So, yeah, I think all that it would take now, perhaps, is to find new homes for a few members of the squad who, you know, let's face it, they just aren't going to get their chances this season. It's probably best for them, you know, especially in terms of the likes of Bolasie, who, you know, he will just want to be going out and playing football. But I think, you know, as we saw from Carlo Ancelotti's press conference last week, it's probably not going to come at Everton, is it? So he does need to try and get himself a move. There were, you know, talks of perhaps a potential switch to Turkey at some point on deadline day, but they never really materialised into something bigger. So yeah, fingers crossed he can find himself a move, whether that's in the Championship or whether, I think, Portugal's window's still going to be open for a little bit. So, you know, I think Russia's window's still open for a little bit as well. So, you know, there's potentials there as well. And then, like, as you say, you know, we've got a number of young players, I think, who'd still want to move out on loan. You know, a few members of that under-23s team at the minute who'd want to be getting out on loan. And then, yeah, as you say, the likes of Callum Connolly, Matty Pennington, you know, they could easily be taken up by Championship clubs. You know, they've had really good loan moves in the past, and I just wouldn't put it past them to, you know, either get another loan move or have a similar situation to Sandro, where it, you know, if a club is interested enough, Everton might just say, yeah, we'll waive the fee. You lads go off and get your football, and we'll just have yous off the wage bill. I think that just works for all parties, really. So, yeah, there's still about 10 days, I think, or so to be able to work those things out. But I think as we stand, I think we're already at a pretty fantastic window, I'd say, in terms of Everton already. So, yeah, I think if we were to get a few of those players out and off the books for the remainder of this campaign, at least, then, yeah, I think it turns into a pretty perfect one.
A 9 out of 10, then, for the transfer window from Adam Preno, what would you give it?
I'd probably temper it a little, 8 out of 10, maybe. Just the fact that... Yeah,
so negative. So negative.
How can 8 out of 10 be negative?
11 out of 10, Preno, or none.
Yeah, but that's because you're, like, absurdly optimistic, you know, so I'm just trying to show a little bit of voice of experience here. 8 out of 10 is okay, but, you know, just because of the slight concern over the forward positions. But no, all in all, every single deal that has been hatched has been very, very good. Possibly would I like to have seen a couple more members off the wage bill, but that can still happen, as we've just said. So it's not ended just yet. But no, it certainly looks very, very positive. It's always a bit of a concern saying that, because, you know, we were so excited about that 2017 transfer window, weren't we? And look how that panned out. But no, I think we can safely say this one's been, you know, so an absolutely resounding success, and 8 out of 10 is good. So don't be criticising that.
We look, are you going to be Mr. Negative, like Negative Preno, as we all call him? Or are you going to be Mr. Positive, like Positive Perfect Match Score and Predictions Jones, as his roll off the tongue nickname now is?
But bear in mind, Wheeler, really, before you answer, this is the man who admitted at the start of this podcast to drinking vodka and orange.
What a drink that is, by the way. You've never had a Bon Orange, never lived, Preno. Oh. I got told by an unnamed source that you chill in jeans at the weekend. It was insane.
Unnamed source, I wonder who that might be.
Do you not have like a pair of like joggers or something? You can just, a little pair of Everton shorts that you can just throw on around the house.
When the weather's nice, yeah. But I'm not too sure it was that nice at the weekend.
Go on then, Wheelow, before this descends into madness.
I'm going to follow that. Well, we've got James Rodriguez, haven't we? Absolutely running the show, so I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
10?
Yeah, just go completely positive.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, lads. We will be back later on in the week. Hope you all enjoyed that kind of short and sweet roundup of the Everton transfer window. And obviously, we'll be approaching international break misery next week. So if you've got any questions for me or the lads or Phil Kirkbride or Gav Buckland as well, get them in. Send them over on Twitter or the Facebook group Royal Blue Podcast, and we'll work our way to them. Thank you very much for listening, lads. Thank you very much for joining us, and I will speak to you soon.
You've been listening to the Royal Blue Podcast from the Liverpool Echo.